Now to the proposed nuclear deal with Iran, an outline of an agreement reached last week ahead of a June deadline to finish the deal. President Obama spoke yesterday with our colleague Steve Inskeep of NPR's Morning Edition, and the president raised the possibility, however small, that a final agreement limiting Iran's nuclear program would profoundly change that country.
It is possible that if we sign this nuclear deal, we strengthen the hand of those more moderate forces inside of Iran. But the key point I want to make is the deal is not dependent on anticipating those changes. If they don't change at all, we're still better off having the deal.
And Steve Inskeep joins us now. Steve, tell us more. How do you think the president views Iran's future?
Well, the president spoke carefully about this, Robin, because nobody really knows what is going to happen in the future, assuming this deal becomes final. But one widespread bit of anticipation is that this nuclear deal changes Iran's relationship with the international community, ends a lot of economic sanctions, and it leads to a wider opening of Iran to the world. The president spoke carefully about this because he can't be sure it's happening. And so when he was defending his nuclear deal, he did not say this will lead to a great improvement in Iran. He argued this is a good deal if Iran changes, and it's still a good deal if Iran remains the same country that the United States has been hostile to for many, many years because it limits Iran. He argues that it's a good deal either way. But there is that sense of anticipation out there, Robin. And when we've seen Iranians cheering in the streets about this nuclear deal in recent days, you know, there may be some of them that are very happy that Iran got to keep a particular nuclear facility open or something in the exact terms of the deal. But in my experience, many people are excited because they are looking for that big change, that big opening of Iran to the world.
Yeah. Well, you also asked a terrific question about what happens if reducing the sanctions or eliminating them strengthens Iran's support of Bashar Assad in Syria or Hezbollah, the militant group in Lebanon, or militants in Yemen.
And the president had to acknowledge that, you know, that's a real concern. You don't know what Iran is going to do with the money that they make. He's hoping that Iran will be using that money to improve the lives of its people at home, because the government does need to take care of its people. There is a question of legitimacy and some responsiveness to public support there. You really don't know what is going to happen with Iran abroad. But the president argued they're already doing that. They're already supporting Syria's government. They're already supporting Hezbollah. It's not going to get much worse than it already is.
Yeah. Well, and then there are people who are concerned about lifting sanctions and Iran breaking the deal, wondering how easy it will be to bring back those global sanctions. President Obama told you they were trying to make it easy for the sanctions to, as it said, snap back into place. Let's listen.
The way we are trying to design the snapback provisions is that they're not dependent on absolute consensus in the Security Council, for example, but that they are triggered by an IAEA identification of a very real problem there, and that a majority of the countries who are concerned, who are involved, have identified this as a real problem.
Now, I want to make sure the listeners understand this. Nuclear experts at the International Atomic Energy Agency would make this judgment. It would not be the UN Security Council having to vote with Russia having a veto.
Well, we're not going to make this subject to the typical Security Council where one country can hold out and you can't get this done. But these are details that still have to be worked out, Steve. So I don't want to give the false impression that we have all this resolved.
Steve, was there anything surprising there for you?
Well, it was more detailed than I had previously understood, or probably that most people did, about how this is supposed to work. Although, frankly, it is also more detailed than the Iranians have agreed to. They have not signed on to this idea, but it's something that U.S. experts think is a very good idea if they could get it. You don't want to have to go back to the U.N. Security Council and have an endless diplomatic process if Iran is suspected of violating the deal. You want Iran to be very swiftly paying the consequences of that. But it's one of the big unanswered questions here, according to nuclear experts. It is not agreed yet. It's something that has to be worked out by that June 30th deadline, the next deadline here.
Was this the president telling you that this really truly is a great deal, you know, best deal possible or best deal the U.S. could get?
He argued for this deal in stronger terms than many other things that I've heard him talk about in interviews over the years, Robin. When we think about some past episodes where the president has been forced to compromise with Congress, he's had to sign on to legislation that he did not like to get other parts of the legislation that he did. And he has spoken of these things as a compromise. In this case, he is arguing this is the best deal. It is a good deal no matter what happens. He is arguing that it is a solid framework that will box in Iran's nuclear program no matter what goes wrong in the next 10 or 15 years. He's selling it very hard.
Yeah, that's Steve Inskeep, co-host of NPR's Morning Edition, talking about his interview with President Obama on the Iran nuclear deal. By the way, we'll link you to the full video at hereandnow.org. Steve, thank you.
Always a pleasure to be here, Robin.